Radio Daily for Anti-Friday, even if it doesn't feel that way.
But it's April 20th.
Right? It's where your friends at right here, because your fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us, you love us, and all those fine things. The folks bringing it to you today, well, as you can already tell, the lady that's sort of loosened up a bit as this whole stay-at-home thing goes on, that there's the Flintstress.
What up, my homies? You ready to get spanked?
Okay. It's one of those days. Hi, everybody. I'm the guy that sees how the dots connect. Well, there's that as well. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
There are no coincidences, Delia. Only the illusion of coincidence.
Only the illusion. What happened on this fine, fantastical day, yeah?
Well, in 1841, The Murders in the Rue Morgue by Edgar Allan Poe is published in Graham's Magazine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's widely considered to be the first detective story.
It certainly is. 1862, Louis Pasteur and Claude Bellard complete the experiment falsifying the theory of spontaneous generation. No, mice just don't appear. They show up.
They respawn. 1902, Pierre and Marie Curie isolate 1 gram of radium, the first sample of a radioactive element, from 8 tons of pitchblende ore.
1926, Western Electric and Warner Brothers introduce Vitaphone, a process to add sound to film and one of the first to use electronic amplification.
In 1939, David Sarnoff, president of RCA, delivers a speech to an NBC camera announcing the launch of a regular public television service with the formal opening of the 1939 New York World's Fair in Flushing, New York, on April 30th.
1940, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, RCA publicly demonstrates the first electron microscope ever seen in the United States. 10-foot-tall, half-ton apparatus.
Wow.
Capable of magnifying an object 100,000 times.
In 1951, on the popular See It Now television show, hosted by journalist Edward R. Murrow, scientists from MIT demonstrate the Whirlwind Machine, the first computer to operate in real time and to feature video displays.
Same day, same year, Romanian surgeon Dan Garvielu performs the first surgical replacement of a human organ. Which one?
We won't tell you.
Nope.
1961, the FCC approves FM stereo broadcasting. However, it'll be another 5 years before FM stations grow in popularity.
1964, the first transcontinental picture phone call is made between the Bell System exhibit at the World's Fair in New York City and Disneyland in Anaheim, California.
In 1967, the NASA Lunar Lander Surveyor 3 lands on the surface of the moon.
1972, Apollo 16 lands on the moon, the 10th manned mission in the Apollo program, the 5th to land on the moon.
In 1973, the Canadian ANIKA-2 becomes the first commercial satellite in orbit.
1979, the film Dawn of the Dead, the sequel to Night of the Living Dead, directed by George A. Romero, was released in U.S. theaters.
In 1983, according to Twin Galaxies, Alan Rager scores a record-setting 8,203,510 points playing the Bally Midway arcade game Tron at Videoland Arcade in Millington, Tennessee.
But not Tron Guy. 1994, the NASA Space Shuttle Endeavour lands at the conclusion of a mission chronicled by the Discovery Channel.
In 94, WebCrawler, the first full-text search engine, is launched. The search engine is created by Brian Pinkerton while at the University of Washington.
1999, the iOmega Corporation announces an agreement to integrate a 100-meg iOmega Zip Drive into the Sega Dreamcast video game system.
Wow.
Right before it all fell apart.
2001, Napster announces an agreement to license fingerprinting technology that may help thwart users' ongoing attempt to distribute copyrighted material, by renaming files.
2004, Gravity Probe B is launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base. The mission of the probe is to confirm part of Einstein's theory of relativity with a physics experiment.
2007, Life magazine publishes the last issue of its print edition. All future issues of the magazine are just on the internet.
2007, Rogue Pictures releases the action comedy Hot Fuzz, directed by Edgar Wright, starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and Timothy Dalton was a damn delight. Birthdays?
Joey Lawrence is 44.
Whoa.
J.D. Roth is 52 from GamePro TV.
Andy Serkis is 56, that's Gollum, Kong, also Caesar in Planet of the Apes, and Black Panther.
Crispin Glover is 57 from Back to the Future, Ben, Charlie's Angels, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Clint Howard is 61 from Gentle Ben, Star Trek, tons of low-budget flicks, and every Ron Howard flick.
That's true. Jaron Wynn Davis is 63 from Forever Night and Cube 2, Hypercube.
Louise Jameson is 69, Leela in Doctor Who, and the Five-ish Doctors.
Jessica Lang is 71 from King Kong, Tootsie, and Killed It in American Horror Story.
Yeah. Veronica Cartwright is 71 from 1978's Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Alien, Witches of Eastwick, and The Invasion.
Michael Brandon is 75. Senator Brandt and Captain America.
Ryan O'Neill is 79. Barry Lyndon, partners. Malibu's Most Wanted.
He was great in that. George Takei is 83 years of age. He will always be Mr. Sulu to us, but he's done other things. He was in Heroes. We won't hold that against him.
Oh, my. Leslie Phillips is 96 from The Thief of Baghdad, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, and the voice of the Sorting Hat.
No longer with us, born the state in 1836, Eli Whitney Blake Jr., the cotton gin inventor.
Born in 1889, Adolf Hitler, painter.
I heard of that guy. 1893, Harold Lloyd did crazy stunts all in the name of comedy without any kind of safety gear. He was the Jackie Chan of his day.
Yikes. Born in 1904, Bruce Cabot, the 1936 Last of the Mohicans, and Green Berets, and Diamonds Are Forever.
1914, Betty Lou Gerson, the voice of Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you.
Yeah. In 1925, Elena Verdugo, Lalonka in House of Frankenstein.
1940, James Gammon, Bud in Major League, and Marv in The Iron Giant.
Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, All Rise, and Bull.
ABC, it's week two of The Bachelor. Listen to your heart. Noah and Daniel's relationship begins to prosper. And after an unwanted birthday party for Noah, Daniel learns more about her past on New The Baker and The Beauty, not a Lifetime movie original.
Wow. On NBC, we get The Knockouts Part 2 on a New The Voice and Luis Fonzio on Songland. Oh, Luis Fonsi, that guy, yeah.
There you go. Fox. Eddie embarks on a mission to rescue himself from his own past while he tries to save a boy who's become stuck inside a well.
Oh, no.
On a new 911.
Is it Timmy? Please be Timmy.
New prodigal son.
On the CW, we get a new Who's Line and then a rerun of Who's Line. But Maria and Alex are led to a mysterious bootmaker's abode as they continue to investigate her mother's disappearance on a new Roswell, New Mexico.
Freeform is showing Jumanji, the first one.
Oh, there you okay,
go.
Sure.
Go back in time, kids.
AMC has a new Better Call Saul. Simone and Peter and Janice explore new interests. And Fredwynn struggles to let go on dispatches from elsewhere.
Bravo. Glenn makes changes aboard the yacht.
Yep.
Madison confronts Adam about sleeping with Jenna in the master guest cabin. Mm. And Jenna becomes indignant on a new below deck sailing yacht.
She is. On Eve, a woman seeks Dr. DeBrow's help fixing her boob that looked like an elephant trunk. Ew! On a new botch.
FX. Family life is thrown off kilter as Allie spends her weekdays in Berlin and weekends in London on a new Breeders.
On FXX, we get a Simpsons Marathon, Weekend at Bernsey's, The Auto Show, and Das Bus.
Sci-Fi Channel has a Battlestar Galactica Marathon, Bring Your Own Beats. Tonight, though, on the Lifetime Movie Network, a man saves an ER doctor recovering from addiction from an attack she encounters while walking home one night from a support group. Ultimately, though, learns he's somehow connected to her past and is quite unstable. Marcy Miller, What, and Kelly Blatt star in Sinister Stalker.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When Abby decides to go back to work, Chad has to deal with the family and discovers his oldest daughter, Charlotte, is dating his co-worker Evan's son, David. Chad sees that David might break his daughter's heart and gives Evan a little talk about the way he feels. Chad's other daughter, Rachel, gets suspended for skipping school. Chad starts to feel that him and his daughters make a crowd. But will the drama make him feel like he has a problem child? Stay tuned. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today.
Well, no, because everyone was still scratching their head over what in the world, where were they last week? Well, last week, Chad and Abby were on the show Prey, which I also did not remember even existed. So this week, I think you've got a better chance. And I just talked myself out of giving you a clue here. But drop us a note at podcast@geekradiodaily.com or tell us all about your lives and stuffs and other things that end in S's by dialing
510-GRD-CREW.
But only the good S's.
Hello, Christopher. What insanity are you up to today?
Oh, hey, Lydia. I'm downloading some movies.
What? People are always telling me that's illegal.
Uh-uh, not these. They're all public domain. Oh, look, Rescue from Gilligan's Island.
Well, let me see what you're doing. Oh, you're at archive.org. Well, they have thousands of films, TV shows, commercials, radio shows, and books available.
Yeah, but there are so many. I wish there was a podcast or something that would discuss these things. You know, give us an idea of what's worth the time.
Christopher, there is. We do one.
Oh, that's right. We host Orphan Entertainment. Once a month, we pick something and review and discuss it. That sure is nice of us.
Sure. Why don't you click over to Orphaned Entertainment and remind yourself a little more about the show?
Oh, will do. Let's see, that's at orphanentertainment.com. And yeah, it looks like we're available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Oh, hey, can we review the Gilligan's Island movie someday?
Mm-hmm, we'll see, Christopher. We'll see.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
Well, yeah, and that's always a good time, or at least a way to, you know, have a calendar without really looking at one.
Let me tell you the story of right hand, left hand.
What's in that book?
Is this a kissing book?
What kind of books? So many kinds of books. How many? It's a variety I can't even begin to tell you a number of. Just here's one.
Well, the final book in the Hall of Blood and Mercy trilogy, which features vampires, wizards, fae, and werewolves, it's packed with humor, adventure, and a sweet slow-burn romance between a vertically challenged wizard and the deadliest vampire in town. Magic Unleashed, Hall of Blood and Mercy, Book 3, by K.M. Shea.
An extraordinary collection of four new and compelling novellas, Mr. Harrigan's Phone, The Life of Chuck, Rat, and the title story, If It Bleeds, each pulling you into intriguing and frightening places, would be If It Bleeds, the newest one by Stephen King.
Ooh.
The next newest one, 2 days from now.
One Grim Reaper, three hellhounds who refuse to bow down to her, a monster hunting them in the shadows. A standalone, Why Choose Paranormal Romance, and it's part of the All the Queen's Men series. Each book in the series is a full-length standalone featuring layered heroes and a headstrong heroine who never has to settle for just one happily ever after. The books can be read in any order and are part of the same supernatural universe. That's Reaper's Pact from the All the Queen's Men Book 1 by Rhea Watson.
An invisible city rises from the depths, led by a new savior. Prepared to expect the unexpected in Harley Merlin 17, Finch Merlin, and The Legend of the Luminary by Bella Forrest, which gets all kinds of bad props for its name.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Dr. Sleep kind of did the impossible.
Stay awake all night?
Well, that wasn't easy as well. Not only was it a decent adaptation of a Stephen King novel, it was, you know, actually a sequel as a movie to The Shining that Stephen King himself said made him finally appreciate the original film.
Oh, but his heart will always belong to Stephen Weber.
Whose won't? Seems that there is some untold part of the story as we know it, because HBO Max is taking us back to the Stephen King created universe with Overlook.
Any big hotels have just got scandals. You know, just like any big hotel has got ghosts.
J.G. Abrams' Bad Robot is going to be guiding us in the return to the Overlook Hotel, made famous by the novel The Shining. This horror thriller will explore untold and terrifying stories of the hotel.
Oh, you could do a whole season on the suicides alone.
You're right. Now, before you roll your eyes, Warners and Bad Robot collaborated before and gave us the Hulu anthology series Castle Rock, which I enjoy. The 10-episode series being written and executive produced by Dustin Thomason and Scott Brown, both of whom worked on the Hulu show. Even in the midst of the pandemic, they put together a mini writer's room so they can get a jump on the scripts.
Well, maybe it's a spinoff and Jackie Torrance will dig up dirt on Overlook's past.
That would be great. No word at all on what the show is actually about, so that'd be a perfect setup. When something happens, you can leave a trace of itself behind. Not things that anyone can notice, but things that people who shine can see. Just like they can see things that haven't happened yet. Well, sometimes they can see things that happened a long time ago, and I think a lot of things happened right here in this particular hotel over the years, and not all of them good. Oh, and there ain't nothing in room 237, but you ain't got no business going there anyway, so stay out. You understand me? Stay out!
I will. Believe me. Well, the first season of Star Trek Picard's wrapped up, and it didn't go overboard with references to Star Trek Next Generation as Jean-Luc Picard embarked on his new mission to save the galaxy, with only some familiar faces resurfacing during the 10-episode run.
That reminds me, this week curbside pickup has got to be from Riker's, the Bunnicorn Pizza.
With roasted tomatoes?
Those go so great with Antirrian basil.
Well, of all the faces we saw, one missing big one was Geordi LaForge, the chief engineer under Picard's command when he captained the Enterprise. Now, after a brief attempt to play coy about his return, actor LeVar Burton has confirmed he will reprise his role as LaForge on Picard.
The numbers say it's even money. It's no better than turning it over to a computer, but no worse either.
In an interview, Burton was asked if he would make an appearance on the show, and he said, well, how do I say this without, you know, getting in trouble? I think that is reasonable to assume that those people are still a part of Picard's life. And yeah, sure, what the hell? Yeah, absolutely. You'll see us all, probably not all at the same time, but you know.
Yeah, well, I told the captain I had this analysis done in an hour.
Burton has appeared as LaForge on all 7 seasons of TNG and reprised his role in all 4 films starring the series cast. With Picard, you know, boldly going on a new adventure, there was no doubt we'd be getting more of the band back together. That trip is at least going to have to give us Geordi. Engage!
Warner Brothers is having problems running with the devil. Lucifer star Tom Ellis has rejected Warner Brothers' latest offer concerning his contract extension for a potential season 6.
The devil's in the details.
Ellis has rejected the studio's latest offer. Notably, he finalized his contract extension for season 6 last month, which means, depending on those terms, he could be found a breach of contract should he not hold up his end of the bargain.
Then there'd be, wait for it, hell to pay.
The report says that Warner Brothers TV has sweetened the pot for Ellis several times already. Everyone wants Tom to be happy, but there's a limit, and it's been reached, says the source. But both Warner Brothers and Ellis' spokesperson declined to comment on the story.
Well, yeah, you speak of the devil, he'll appear.
Netflix revived Lucifer for a 4th season, then made season 5, and said it's going to be the show's last. Season 5 will come out this year, split into 2 parts, but this past February, they said they wanted to go, hey, one more, season 6. And the showrunners Ildi Medrovic and Joe Hendrickson signed new deals to return should the series be picked up for season 6, and Ellis is the last piece of the puzzle.
Kind of an important one.
With most of his co-stars having existing deals that would cover an extra season. Problem is, Netflix, you sort of already promised this was coming, so give the devil his due.
Well, Diamond, the company that distributes comics for basically every major publisher across the board, has officially announced that it is targeting a potential mid to late May date to restart shipping product after having shut down its shipping back on March 23rd.
Which begs the question, go back to comic releases or keep drive-through RPG? Let us know by mid to late May. Podcast at GeekRadioDaily.com.
Well, they add, with health and safety of employees, retailers, and customers a top priority, we need to be very deliberate about how we restart and scale operations. We must find that delicate balance between managing health and safety concerns, meeting the pent-up demand for product, and working with retailers whose situations differ.
Well, they could have always done that. I mean, what changed?
Well, they might have heard something and tried to downplay something. Turns out DC Comics released a statement just a few hours later saying they are pursuing alternate distribution methods and will start shipping product April 27th.
I mean, let us know in a week at podcast@geekradiodaily.com.
Well, DC plans to use Lunar Distribution for the West and UCS Comic Distributors in the East to distribute weekly periodical comics. The pair are the first new direct market distributors for comic periodicals in 20 years.
Wait, so Diamond has lost DC?
Well, and you're going to imagine Marvel isn't going to wait around. Distributors now have a chance to change the comic world. Any company that can handle the volume could take over for various publishers. Any one of those could be a Diamond one day.
Mark Guggenheim is giving away an exciting auction rewards for the hashtag Creators for Comics initiative. The Arrow co-creator is offering fans the chance to visit the set of any of the shows he's worked on.
Star Labs? Ooh, The Wave Rider. Ooh, CC Jitters.
Guggenheim said that the Logic and Travel are not included with the trip, which has a $5,000 opening bid. The trip will be subject to any studio requirements from Warner Brothers Television.
You have to be in the sequel or wear a name tag. It says Martha.
Guggenheim helped develop Arrow with Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg and served as showrunner for 6 seasons before stepping down to a consulting producer role. He's also had a hand in creating the spinoffs of Legends of Tomorrow, served as co-showrunner with Phil Klemmer before taking a consulting producer role season 4. Recently, served as the showrunner for Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover, adapted from the legendary maxi series by Marv Wolfman and George Perez.
Oh, could you run on the cosmic treadmill?
That'd be great. The hashtag Creators for Comics initiative has seen over 100 creators, including Guggenheim, auctioning off signed goods, collectibles, and other prizes over the course of the week. All proceeds from the auctions will go to the Book Industry Charitable Foundation, Bink, which is helping support comic book stores during the COVID-19 pandemic, and all auctions will end today.
Well, we know you work best under pressure.
I could absolutely get the money to win this if they promise me realism. When I win and go to the Arrow Bunker, Stephen Amell better be doing some damn salmon ladders. That's all I'm saying.
Right?
GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And yeah, drop us a note. Give us a guess. Tell us what all is going on. What are you doing? What's new and exciting? Oh, and by the way, we are absolutely 100% for sure playing Cards Against Humanity this Saturday night. And some of you are going to play too. We'll talk more about it. We'll give you more info. We'll put something up on Facebook and all those places.
But save the date, Saturday night.
Yeah. And give us a call, won't you? Dial the magical phone numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
Yeah. And, you know, that way we know what you sound like when we also Zoom. See ya.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Send check or money order to the address on your screen.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mommy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a saddening bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on.